Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Listeners, this Grammy recap is going to cause a feud. It's going to cause more than one feud. Ryan Murphy's next production will be feud fixing famous people. Okay.
You think that, but I'm hitting you from the side that you don't even know.
Go ahead. Really?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
No one loves to be hit from the side more than I do, honestly. So
we know that to be true.
This is going to be it's going to be magnificent. All right, we're going to start right off with Taylor and Celine. Listeners, we start, you all need to know that Chris is like the world's biggest Celine fan. I don't know if that's been made as clear on this podcast as it should be. Like, everyone comes up to me and talks about Cher, but I don't know that people know that Celine is your Cher.
I saw probably Celine Dion's last concert ever. Like, Wow. That's, I've seen her 5 times, ? Like, mm-hmm. I love her. Did I burst into tears when they announced her and she walked out? Like, truly burst into tears, and Hassan had to rub my arm, like, in consoling me, and like, I like was not consoled. Like, that's what. Yeah.
I mean, like, I can, as a receiver at. Of a text with an all caps and exclamation pointed text, I can at least attest to the emotion that accompanied that walkout from Chris.
Burst now, into tears.
We are thrilled. I mean, I think personally that her resurfacing in public, you know, just what, 2 weeks before the documentary comes out? What a coincidence. I'm so glad that she got well enough to do that at the Grammys.
Oh, how dare you?
Let's talk.
Dominic.
Look, I love a disease that works around the press schedule. That's all I can say.
I'm not even dignifying those words with a real response. Continue on.
Well, then let's move on to something more ridiculous than what I just said, which is the controversy of Taylor Swift blowing off, ignoring, beating the shit out of, knocking down, hastening the death date of Celine Dion. Why is this getting so much attention? I've watched it 100
times. This is why. Let's go. Let's rewind it all the way back to the beginning of the Grammys. You have Miley Cyrus winning her first Grammy given to her by Mariah Carey.
Yes.
And she, I mean, what a great speech. She's like, oh my God, look who's giving me this award. I can't believe it. One of the most, like, the biggest musical acts to ever exist and one of the most talented singers of all time is giving me this award. This is crazy.
You don't have to twist my arm. I'm with you there. Great moment.
Great moment. Tracy Chapman comes out and performs with whoever the fuck that was, some man. That I won't even, again, dignify that with his real name because I don't even know what it is.
It's Luke Combs. Continue. Sure. You know, we have some listeners in the South.
Sure.
South Jersey. No, we do have some listeners in Georgia. I know this for a fact.
Truly no idea who this man is. Sure, whatever. You have Tracy Chapman, an absolute icon that we've been, I mean, we haven't seen her in 20 some years.
And by the way, how gorgeous is she?
Great.
I mean, we don't talk about people's physical appearance except on this podcast. She's like model beauty.
No, like could walk down the runway tomorrow, model beautiful.
Yes. Absolutely flawless.
Looks even more beautiful than she did back in the day, which was really beautiful.
100% that she has aged like the proverbial fine wine.
Yeah. She, I mean, tears, absolute tears to that performance. Yeah. Correct or incorrect?
Absolutely correct.
Beautiful. We then have Stevie Wonder. We then have Annie Lennox.
There was the Stevie Wonder thing. I could have pressed. I don't know that it was thought out well.
But however, he is an absolute household name and an icon.
Yes, performing. And he was in the room, and respect must be paid. Yes. The performance.
Annie Lennox giving a tribute to what is her name? Sinead O'Connor.
Yes.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful performance.
Lovely to see her causing controversy at the end, calling for a ceasefire.
We then have like a few upstarty people like Olivia Rodrigo, not being an idiot and like jumping around like a freak, but actually showing us people that
yes,
think that she's a tween, nothing, yep. That she's a really good singer. Correct?
100%. I just want to, I'm just confirming this with you.
Yes.
We are in minute four of what is a dissertation. We're ending up with why the Taylor Celine thing matters. Okay. How many acts is this play that we're in?
We're going. Okay. All right. Just stay with me.
Okay.
We then have Brandi Carlile introduce.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I skip right over Travis Scott because that was my bathroom.
I honestly didn't notice. I don't have the rundown in front of me, but that performance was
good. A bathroom bye. Break. Goodbye.
It's a bathroom break.
I'll continue. We then have Brandi Carlile, like an absolute, yes. Like when you talk about someone who's like a current musician that is like up there with the greats, Brandi Carlile introducing and then performing with one of the biggest legends in music history, Joni Mitchell.
Yes.
That performance rocked me to my core.
It was fantastic. It was timely. It was evergreen. There are generations of people who have never heard of her who now
yes.
will. And that was the best part about that performance.
And
It was an easy way to reintroduce herself to the world.
And like just a beautiful, I'll be thinking about the performance for a very, very, very long time.
Yes.
And all of this is careening. Then we have Billy Joel performing a new song.
Right.
This isn't like your teeny bopper.
Do you think Joni Mitchell ever like, do you think backstage at the Grammys, Joni Mitchell looks at Brandi Carlile and says, can I rest now? You've been dragging me everywhere for like the better part of half a decade, bitch.
No, really.
I'm grateful to be out of the house. Yes, I'm grateful it's up to both of our profiles, but can I please go back to Santa Barbara and
let
my own farm and die?
Like, please. No, she for real. But they're like best friends. They like do the Joni. How dare you? The Joni jam. Like they like write songs together and stuff. It's like really beautiful. So all this
careening like, and Billy Joel was where we left off.
Yeah. Billy Joel performing a new song. Like again, many people that don't know who Billy Joel is that are 11,
right.
Like, you know, are seeing that for the first time. All of this is careening towards them saying a secret person that no one knows who is it going to be is going to come give the final award of the night.
Okay.
I'm skipping over Fantasia doing the Tina Turner thing because nothing you're going to say about that performance is going to be nice. So I'm trying to. I just know, Dominic, I know the texts I've received about that performance are not going to be airable on this podcast. And so I'm moving right along from that performance, not including it. Although Tina needed a Tina needed a tribute. Moving
she
on.
She needed a tribute, and Fantasia Barrino gave one of the most energetic performances of the night. I have rephrased the text that I wrote. I don't have anything further to say about Fantasia
Moving
Barrino.
Right along.
Eating
Moving
up right the 2023-24 award season. I don't have anything to say about it.
All of this is barreling towards the album of the year. Mm-hmm. It is revealed that it is Celine Dion. Celine Dion walks out on stage.
She's the mystery person.
She is the mystery person. She has only been seen at what, like one hockey game once in a photo since COVID, basically.
Oh, I thought she was actually playing goalie at that game. Am I? Is this wrong? This is where she's gone.
You really want me to get mad at you now? Like not even in a funny way, in a real way. She gives this beautiful speech about how 27 years ago, Diana Ross and Sting gave her this exact award. And so I am now presenting. Now, again, think of all of the things that we have seen in the night. People that are absolute walking iconic legends giving awards to younger artists and like passing the baton to them. What happens? Taylor Swift wins, obviously. Everyone's like, I didn't know she was going to win. Of course she was going to fucking win.
The awards were split between many people.
Sure.
I think SZA was the expected upset. I really do.
The Grammys are a popularity contest. They always have been, and they definitely are now, and it was going to be her. She wins the award. I watch basically the scene in The Matrix where the bullets are coming and he like goes backwards, like the one that's been parodied 95. Like if you actually just watch her walk up onto that stage, it is wild the things she does to avoid eye contact with the person that is giving her the award, let alone an absolute icon that we should all be grateful is in front of our eyes.
I'm going to pause you there for one moment and say that outside of the Taylor and Celine brouhaha, I don't think that the room did enough when Celine Dion walked out.
I agree.
That the ovation was low and certainly did not go on long.
Agree.
I respected that the audience appeared to remain standing for the entire duration that she was out there as though Jesus or Cher had walked out on the stage. Mm-hmm. And worthy of it. And look, I tell jokes about everybody because it's why Cher put me on this planet. But Celine Dion is one of the greatest singers of all time and certainly one of the most satisfying, hilarious celebrities who has ever walked to the earth. It's like she's got this monumental talent and she is a kooky bitch outside of it.
Cuckoo bananas.
Great. She's just a good time gal. Like everyone loves her. Gay, straight, you name it. So I thought in general the energy in the room wasn't sort of like people weren't falling down when she got out.
I'm not going to lie. They were spent after Joni Mitchell. They had Annie Lennox up there. Like, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot.
Right.
But what I will say is, and the whole point, I'm erasing the fact that it's Celine Dion and it's Taylor Swift. Like, that's not what this is. It is every single way possible. They have set this up for you to be like, look how likable I could be if I bow to this beautiful icon. Just like someone else did at the beginning of the night and like give the award. She literally never looks her in the face. As I was watching it for the first time, I was like, why the fuck is she not looking at Celine Dion? And then I go, oh no, don't worry. She's going to say, I can't believe that Celine Dion is giving me an award. And then she just talks about Lana Del Rey the whole time, who she dragged on the stage with her. It was
unwillingly.
Truly kicking and screaming, honestly. It was so baffling. And yes, is it a big deal? No. Is it like, who cares? But I've just it could have been a piece of trash off of the street that was handing her the award. When someone's handing you something, you look them in the eyes.
This is outlandish. This is outlandish.
It was the wildest thing I've ever seen in my life. I stand by it forever. Go ahead. Tell me what you think.
You are, listen, I'm going to use
Dominic. If it was Cher, you would have a pitchfork at her doorstep today, first and foremost.
Well, that is accurate. That's true.
Thank you so much.
Here's what I really think, though. I think that Taylor Swift, and I'm not a Swiftie at all. I don't hate her, but I'm not a Swiftie. I think she's another kooky bitch. She's a complete goofball. And I think that she was excited about making history and excited that her friend was there and was much more focused on the people who were winning with her and having won the award. Like, I think she was genuinely breathless about it. So the thing, when she did go up to Celine, she definitely did not look at her.
Not
from
even
the time she got up there until the time she took the award. I truly think she was preoccupied because I'm convinced that as they're cutting away, she gets up to the mic and says something, and then she turns camera left and I feel like is looking directly at Celine and smiling and shrugging her shoulders like, can you fucking believe this? And not thinking anything about it. I don't think it was deliberate.
I don't think it was deliberate either. It was just the wildest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I really am not, like, I don't think she snubbed her. Like, I don't think she's like, I'm deliberately not saying this to her. I think she's just oblivious, and that's the problem. Like, to have, and it's, and the point, the reason I recapped every single fucking performance is because, like, at every turn during this very, very good award ceremony,
pretty good. It like, was.
I thought back to basics, very, like, let's, it wasn't, like, every performance, I was like, who is this now? Like, it was very classic, and, like,
even the writing was a little less plotting and annoying. Yes. You know, it was just sort of, like, in and out.
It was very, I really loved watching it, truly. But to have every single thing building to this moment and, like, it being so clear that this is the theme of the night is, like, here's this humongous celebrity giving another humongous celebrity an award.
Right.
That she was just, I mean, the camera couldn't even stay on her because she was, like, whipping around and running this way and running. Like, she did everything that she could to not be looking forward as she went down the stage. It was, I'm surprised she didn't fall on her face. She was looking backwards as she was walking forwards.
Do you? I mean, this can't be true, right? Because the dresses that Celine and Taylor were wearing were mildly similar in structure. Do you believe that someone put that marigold jacket on Celine because they were afraid that the dresses looked too much alike?
I read this
on the internet in several places.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, I'm not making it up.
Oh, my God. I wonder if that's what it was. I mean, either way, she looked beautiful. I loved the jacket.
I loved the jacket.
It was beautiful.
Celine looked great. She
looked great. But Dominic,
for someone who's ill, she looks remarkably not. She's keeping
herself
together.
You can say whatever you want. And I'm not, and listen, I could really be picking on her and be like, she's ungrateful. She stood up every fucking performance and made it all about her because she knew all the cameras would be recording her dancing to someone else's song. I could go there and I'm not. I'm being respectful. It was the wildest thing I have ever seen in my life. That she grabbed the award from this person who is a living icon while she's looking at her friend and won't even turn her head to look her in the eyes as she receives the award from this person.
Right. Well, that did happen. Yeah.
I'll never get over it.
Again, I'm not even a Swiftie, and I think I will say a percentage of her jumping up and dancing was because she was genuinely having a good time.
Sure.
What I think is the worst thing she did all night was get up there and win for pop vocal and not thank anybody and just say my new album comes out. Yeah. April. And
wait, that's
that I thought was so much more egregious than
the
like
sad part
taking
is,
a
I thought that was great.
Neon with it. That's where you really speak to the fans. Like she was like this. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the fans. And so for the fans, I don't know. It was too, for her, who usually seems very like casual about shit like that. It felt too much for me.
I liked it. Cause I feel like she was like, oh, you guys got me this Emmy. Here's a gift. It's a new album. Like all they want is more music from her.
I felt the earth shake, by the way, when she said that.
Like, oh, I was like,
I felt the ground shake.
Yes, yes. A tectonic plate was like shifting underneath us, truly.
Like she is the most, at this point, she is, if she's not the most famous person of my lifetime, most famous celebrity, I mean, Madonna at her peak, but I do believe like the mania of Taylor Swift, because of Travis Kelce, because of like one album, because of all of it, I mean, she very well might be like the most over-publicized.
And
she's
powerful.
Kardashian level. Kardashian,
no, she's
Taylor
bigger.
Swift.
She's bigger.
You think
she's
bigger than Kim?
She's way bigger than them, yes. Yeah. She's and more powerful.
Yeah.
Like the Kardashians are there, but every time they do something, everyone's like, you guys are fucking idiots. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? They always just slam them.
You're right about
like,
the power.
With Taylor, she is so powerful.
You're actually 1,000%
right. Which is why I don't feel bad that I'm criticizing that she didn't look at Celine Dion in the face.
Everyone, well, first of all, you should never feel bad about any celebrity we talk about here. Second of all, that's why everyone is using her as a lightning rod for political bullshit, because she is powerful.
Yeah, 100%.
They're afraid that she's going to say Biden. And really at this point, why would she even do it? Like, why should she even enter that arena?
No, I wouldn't. We don't talk about politics at all. We're nobodies.
There's no.
And we're like, we don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole.
I don't think in her place, like when you have this, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. It's like, she's an icon. She's a gay icon. She already voted for the man once before. She doesn't need to do it again at the literal peak of her all-time powers. There's just no need for it. There's not.
No, it's crazy that I
from a PR standpoint. I mean, would I like her to do it? Yeah, I mean, I would be more apt to buy and listen to her shit if she, you know, she whatchamacallit, endorsed the candidate that I want to vote for. But I just don't think it's necessary.
No, me either. That's like, I'm not even, that's so far away from what I'm talking, like it's where terrible. I'm at with her. It's like,
I'm so, because of, I'm going to, because of her involvement, I cannot wait to watch the Super Bowl. I am not ashamed to admit it.
Yeah, same. And like watch the game and like really pay attention.
Oh yeah. Accounting the amount of times when she shot. I'm very blessed this year to be watching the Super Bowl at the home of lesbians, who I will be peppering with questions all day about how the sport is played, because I mean, beginning to end, never once, never a football game, beginning to end, never.
You've never
happened. No,
that's crazy.
Maybe when I was in college, maybe I stayed for a whole game, but I don't think I've ever even watched a full one from beginning to end. It's just not my thing. I bet a lot of people out there who are football fans have never watched Ordinary People from beginning to end.
Goodbye. Okay, let's move on. I can't. But that's, I mean, other than her being Neo in the Matrix, I mean, I don't know what else to say. It was a great Grammys, I will say that. Miley Cyrus needs mental care.
Do we need to be drinking her blood and having
No, but she looks great. She sounded great. She did great. Loved her.
All of
she
it.
Was yelling at the, I don't know why she was yelling at the audience, but she was.
And she looked fantastic. I thought she deserved the award she won. Yeah. I love that she sort of half jumped on the bandwagon of saying the Grammys weren't necessary, where she was like, this doesn't mean anything. And then turned around to her crew. She goes, but it does though, right guys? I thought that was the line of the night.
Out of her mind.
Out of her mind. And I love that like half the people winning the awards were just like, these awards suck. I was like, then why are you there, girl? Stay home.
It was funny though.
I can't even get involved in the Beyonce, the Grammys are racist debate, because the whole situation confuses me so much that I don't have anything intelligently to add to the conversation.
Well, he just said what like many of the fans have been saying forever, is that basically like, although she has the most Grammys ever of any person ever, like she's never won Album of the Year, which is like, in theory, the most prestigious Grammy.
Well, that's what I mean, because it doesn't make it so doesn't make sense that in my head I'm like, this can't be deliberate. They've given her every, like, why is like, is it some sort of deliberate racist joke? Like, you can win the most of all time, but we're not going to give you the one you want. I mean, there are people, I guess, that would think that
that's
way. It would be shocking to me.
But that's like the argument.
But why give her, like, if they're being deliberately racist, why are they giving her all of the awards?
Because they're like, you're so amazing, so we can't not give you any, because then we look really bad, but we'll never give you the one that you like, that's like the biggest honor.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I love that Jay-Z got up there and basically was like, the math ain't mathin'. That I do agree with. And yeah. There's always been award arguments like that. Like, how does something get nominated for Best Picture and not Best Director, or vice versa, which is really what this situation is. Like, why are you telling us how great we are below the line, but you're not
giving
us the top, which I get,
like,
but.
And it's not for nothing. Like, Beyonce is one of the most, like, other than Taylor Swift, she's probably number two as far as like most influential people in music, period, done.
Yes.
So it's like the fact that she's never won this before is crazy.
I can't remember who beat her. Harry's House. Harry Styles.
And Adele. That's right. Ugh. Adele beat her. And Adele was like, I want to give this to you. Like, I don't even want this. Like, you deserve to have this. Like, remember, like, her
Adele
whole speech
beat
was like,
Lemonade, and Harry's House beat Renaissance. But anyway, we have beaten the Grammys to absolute death. May they stay there, because I'm done talking about it. I like that this show comes out on Wednesdays, because Wednesday is sort of like the last day that I'm willing to hear any of you about something that happened on Sunday night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, picture Sundays as New Year's Day and Wednesdays are January 10th. Like, I don't want to hear about it anymore. No. Wait, New Year's, no Celine and Taylor. This is it today, guys.
But
do not
you
come
agree
up to me at the Duplex on Friday and start talking about Celine Dion.
But
I know that my friend Seamus is going to do this.
Agree. Yeah, he should, and I'll be right there with him to agree.
Go ahead. What?
But you have to agree that I'm right, that everything was careening towards her giving this award to Taylor. The whole show was building to this moment.
Meaning it was being produced for that this was going to be the big moment. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all. Moving on.
I didn't know that that's what you were intimating about, like with the careening and the.
Like, everything is like a little version of what we're about to see, which is like this dynamite giving another dynamite an award.
Well, I agree with you there. I don't know that that was our argument.
Speaking
of. Let's have a fist fight. Speaking of feuds, I want to say this.
Yeah.
If Ryan Murphy's next installment of his feud series isn't Britney versus Justin, then he needs to jump in a volcano, because why even be here if you have the power to tell this, the story of our time? Why you wouldn't do it with these star-crossed lovers? Since we last did an installment of the show, apologies, non-apologies. I don't apologize to fucking anybody. Gonna run home with your mommy.
There's a lot to get into on Britney Watch.
Oh, baby. Hey, y'all. It's been a big week, y'all. I apologize to Justin. And then Justin did a concert in St. Cry Me a River, and he said he not apologizing to fucking nobody. So then I went on Instagram and said, oh, yeah, well, I take back my apology. You're going to run to your mama like you did the last time? Hey, y'all. Big week. Big week.
To quote Wendy Williams, death to all of them. I want him to rot. Like, you fucking, I'm like going off now. Now I'm really mad. You fucking idiot. You think that you're going to get up on that stage and say, I need to apologize to absolutely fucking no one, and that we aren't all going to come, our dancing knives sharpened and pointed right at you? Are you kidding me?
In all seriousness, Justin Timberlake puts his family in danger when he says stuff like that. Because the Britney army, they are dedicated, and they are also, I mean, to say that this, there are millions of you that are unhinged, I mean that in the best possible way. I know that you're dedicated to the cause. I wouldn't let any of you watch my dog. I mean, I think that you're all that severely cracked mentally. But you are devoted to this one being, this one deity, and Justin and puts Jessica Biel and his children at risk.
It is, I mean, what a snafu. Like, how on earth do you think that that is supposed to be something anyone wants to see?
I mean, it's got to be that no publicity is bad publicity.
It has to be.
There will be people protesting at every single one of concert. His concert stops. But they'll probably all still sell out. I mean, that's how he's letting every city know he's in town, by the lead story on the news being these concerts are being protested and also there are some seats left.
Just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. He had the audacity to come and do all this in the first place and then to be like, I have nothing to be sorry for.
It was very petty. It was very, yeah. He should have.
After she was like, guys, like, be nice. Like, don't, like, I want him. I want you guys to be nice to him. Like,
yeah,
that
that's
was what that post
that's what
was.
He didn't like. Right. Because yeah. He didn't want it to see. He was thinking to himself, I've already apologized for this 1,000 times. Now she's going to settle it by saying something. And he was probably thinking, fuck that.
Yeah.
I got to look hard because I got to be from Florida.
He's a fucking loser.
Well, he's actually from Tennessee, right?
His songs all the
boy bands are from Florida.
The new songs are terrible. Have you listened to not the the one song could be anyone, the Selfish or whatever.
Then I saw him another do an acoustic, one. He did an acoustic version of it yesterday on Instagram. That's the only one I've seen. I didn't watch the SNL performances. He makes me uncomfortable. He's not aging well. He looks rubber.
Yeah. And again, as Rachel, one of the listeners said, she said, the fact that this song doesn't have a beat or a melody is crazy. Or like doesn't have a chorus or a melody. Like, it was
sharp and flat the whole way through.
Insane. And then Britney was like, actually, never mind. Go fuck yourself. Which I was giving her a standing ovation, deserved of Celine Dion coming to the Grammys in my house alone.
That really was the response, though. Yeah. I mean, it really was that immature, and she's so unabashed about it. She said, actually, never mind. I take my apology back. Go run to your mommy and fuck you. It's like, oh, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, you little bitch. Like, I'm so into that.
Like, if this is a Housewives reunion, we are not going to break for a very long time. Yeah. Like, sit down.
Yeah.
So, Ryan Murphy, please make this happen, honestly.
How dare
there's so does the vengeance that they after all these decades. Speaking of vengeance, I don't know who to congratulate. Is it Meghan Markle or Camilla that gave King Charles cancer? Because it did not happen on its own.
That's horrible.
It did not happen on its own. For the third time, it did not happen on its
brother.
Own.
Well, the Royals are dropping like flies. Is Kate Middleton out of the hospital yet?
Oh, gee, what happened? What changed about the royal family that all of a sudden they just started dropping like flies? Because Meghan Markle put a curse on everybody.
Stop.
She was not fucking around. She is scarred by Megxit, and she is chanting and making bad things happen to this family. If it's not her, it's definitely got to be Camilla, who's like,
it's like,
you know,
Diana's
what?
Spirit. Yeah.
I became queen. Now be gone. Because now when you die, I'm still going to be the queen. It doesn't matter anymore. Put me on a coin, Charles.
Yeah. I've been in the long game for too long of a time.
I mean, she's probably mentally damaged from it. But of course, Fixing Famous People is a giant fan of all members of the royal family because you are the frivolous glamour that we aspire to. And we are not happy that King Charles has cancer. We wish him a speedy recovery, but his prognosis, at least with the initial reports, it seems like they caught it early and they're going to fix it.
Well, that's good. But I mean, it really is like, this is what we've been saying for like years, my whole life basically, is like, he's going to become the king and then like die like three
absolutely
years later. Like it's
absolutely.
So sad that that's exactly what it is. I mean, William might be this. I'm speaking very flippantly about death and cancer, but like William might be getting to the throne a little bit sooner than he thought.
And I'll tell you what. Also, I wonder. We should ask Kristen Meinzer what she thinks about this.
We can't get to her because she's on CNN every day now.
Is she? God
yes.
Bless her.
Yes.
I think that there's a possibility that Charles would abdicate if he gets like a little gun shy because
too
of
sick.
This illness,
yeah.
Because, you know, he's been in public life his whole life. I do believe that he and Camilla genuinely love each other. And I think he would probably, I bet that this could make him retire from public life and hand it all over to
and like just get
Wills.
Well, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if like go get well, like no one will be upset with you. It's like,
right.
But or is he going to hang on to it as long as he can because he's waiting?
I don't know. It's funny to talk about it this seriously because we are pretending as though the role of a king is that of a president. And it's,
other than to be in the Daily Mail every day. Yeah. Like, other than,
like, as far as I know, their daily chores involve going to like bake-offs and collecting checks from the government and watching their jewels be polished and eating
doing walkabouts. Doing walkabouts.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So... we do wish him well, and I guess
is Kate Middleton out of the hospital? My question stands.
Press time, I don't know if she's out yet.
Crazy, you know.
Nothing can happen to her. I mean, there is the Windsor curse. They've talked about it for years. I mean, there's not, you know, no royal family is immune from this sort of nonsense.
Speaking of prostate exams, Drake's penis is humongous.
Drake's penis could perform an endoscopy on, me, really, if he wants. Drake's dick was all over Twitter yesterday. And, you know, by the end of the day, our friend Tom texts us to say that it's been wiped from the internet. Yeah, I want to wipe my dick pics off the internet. How have to be famous to do that? It's another reason why I should become famous. Please share this podcast with everyone so I become powerful enough to wipe my dick pics off the internet. Thank you, listeners. You going to review this too? Are you going to give us a blow by blow?
I'm not. I will say we did make it out of this without us actually getting to a legitimate fight, which I'm happy about.
What did you think we were going to fight about?
I don't know. I just thought you were going to be like... I am still stewing about you thinking the Celine Dion's illness is fake, and I'll have to just bring that up with you on Friday in person, and that'll just be what it is. But it is.
I don't think Celine Dion is faking her illness. I do not. But however,
it was too easy for you to pass up and to make
it. It was way too easy because it's like, oh my God, she's in public and debuting on Amazon Prime February 13th. It just is a showbiz thing. I know that she's ill, obviously.
Yes.
So I don't want any, whatever Celine Dion heads are called, please don't spit on me if you see me in public.
Speaking of documentaries.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like waiting with bated breath for the Wendy Williams documentary that's coming out. Like, I'm nervous. I'm going to be watching it with my hands, like, through my, like, webbed hands over my eyes, like, one eye peeking out. Like, it's cringing, but I cannot fucking wait.
It looks heartbreaking.
I know. I know. I'm just going to sit there and cry the whole time. But, like, it's what we wanted. We begged for this.
We did. I watched the whole thing with my jaw agape.
Yeah.
My mouth agape. Until she whipped around at one point and said, I'm 138 pounds, to which I actually screamed at the computer, goals, girl. Way to go. I was actually happy that she weighed that little. She looks terrible. It's because I want to weigh that.
Oh, my. Well, in other news, we are having our very first live Zoom.
Yes.
For the Long Island Iced Tea tier of the Patreon, we are going to be fixing normal people. You guys are
normal
coming
people
with your questions. You're coming with your problems. You're coming with your snafus. You're submitting them beforehand, hopefully, so we can get a little, you know, wrap our heads around it like we do for the normal episodes. And then we're talking about it on a live Zoom with all of the Long Island Iced Tea tier. It is on February 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. All you have to do is sign up for the Long Island Iced Tea tier of the Patreon, and you can be with us. There's going to be a lot of guests that you've heard on this podcast that are going to be signing in, and we are ready, and we're going to let it all hang out, and we're going to have the best time, and we're so excited, so I hope you guys come.
And let's just say we don't have confirmation that Celine Dion will not be there. Or will she? We just can't say either way. That's all we can say.
We don't know. We don't know. We can't say. We can't say.
It's all we can say.
Speaking of men with humongous penises, I think we should
this is truly the bridge. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's a bridge, all right.
Yes.
We need to get to our client for the day.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know her from Next Food Network Star. You know her from her podcast, You Are So Creative. You know her from her Instagram where she does amazing recipes. It is Nikki Dinky, one of the funniest people I've ever met. Here she is.
Hi!
Wow. I mean, I don't want to compete with Dominic for funniest, but I'll take one of the.
Well, thank you for saying that.
I'm a fan of this show. I'm a fan of you guys. So it just is a joy to be here. And like, now I get to see how the magic happens.
Yeah. Well, get ready.
You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be very upset. There's whatever's below basic. That's what it takes to put this together.
I would expect nothing less or more.
But before we go on, Nikki, tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Ooh, so my podcast is semi-recently started. It's called You're So Creative, and it's really for any kind of entrepreneur or self-starter, but especially creative professionals. And, you know, we're just kind of going and talking to all of my favorite people from the food world to the fashion world to tattoo artists to all sorts of brand creators. And, you know, forming a little bit of a community there and giving people a chance to talk about, you know, these sometimes very isolated careers as creative people, but also giving people like actual tips and tricks to leave with. So it's just kind of all the conversations I was having with my super awesome creative friends who are doing amazing things and kind of sharing that with everyone. But it's really, really, yeah, it's really fun. And it's definitely something to check out, especially if you are kind of doing your own thing or you've got your own podcast like you guys, you know?
And I will say this about Nikki, if you're not familiar with her, she is like the non-annoying kind of bubbly. And if you are annoyed by bubbly people, you know what I'm talking about.
No, Dominic, I don't mean to interrupt you. Go on. It's just a great compliment.
No, I don't know I can even offer you a better compliment. It's just like, it's good energy that doesn't make you hate good energy. That's what you are, basically. Because most good energy to me is,
people always ask me, or they used to, especially when I was younger, like, are you on drugs? What's going on? You're, you know, so energetic. And I'm like, well, just me being bubbly. But I do think I have more layers than that. So yes, I like to keep it fun, but like there's a, you know, a very serious note about me. So thank you. That was a very nice compliment.
Oh, you're welcome. Speaking of extremely serious people. We're here to discuss someone who has been on this list, our client list, from the very beginning.
Day one. This is a person who has angered people enough for such a long time that when we told them this concept, this man's name was on their list.
I'm serious. Like, it might have been the first submission that we ever got. And in that man's name is Nick Cannon.
His name is Nick Cannon. But before we go further, we must, of course, ask Chris and our guests to guess Nick Cannon's middle name.
You know, it's funny. I knew you guys did this. And I remember thinking, Oh, I know. Actually, I thought I wasn't going to Google it, but I did think I would like think of something witty to say. And amazingly, here I am, having thought no more about it since the last time I had this thought. I'll let Chris take the lead on this one. Chris, what do you think his middle name is? You look Nicholas? So confident for those who can't see him.
You've never seen a human being take anything more seriously than Chris takes the middle name challenge every week. It is wartime for him, this part of the show.
Nicholas?
You're really making us
I came up with something.
If you want Nicholas, me to go now,
Nicholas Garrett Cannon.
Wow. Okay, Nicholas Garrett Cannon.
Strong.
Nikki, what is your guess?
Okay. For some reason, B came to me. So, you know, I'm a little psychic. Like, I think I'm a little in tune with, like, you know,
okay,
something extra in the world. Hence my abilities at, like, a craps table or a roulette table.
Ooh.
So I felt like B was very important. And so I went to Benedict because it's, like, overly legal.
Beautiful guess. Beautiful guess.
But, like, you know, and he would be one of those, like, old lords that, like, you know, I don't know. That's where I went with that. Wow. Wow, I'm so right.
Garrett? No, Garrett and Benedict, you are all, like, you're the parents of all the people at Mommy and Me in Williamsburg at this point. Garrett and Benedict, I am floored. When you hear how simple this name was, normally Chris and any guest will guess like the simple version and it ends up being Marston or Cartier or something utterly ridiculous. This week, you have given us two, what I will just call upstairs at Downton Abbey names. Yeah. And you are
being... I changed my answer to Sam.
Close. Nicholas Scott Cannon.
God damn it.
Yeah.
You know, because Scott, he comes from a simple background, you know, like he's really.
It's a simple name. It's a simple name, Scott. Yeah. And here we are.
This is really disappointed. It's okay.
He's a Libra and he's 43 years of age. For those of you who might have thought you stumbled onto a pageant podcast, we can do that as well. Please go to patreon.com/facingfamespeople.
I mean, you're such an idiot. So Nick Cannon, I mean, obviously let's just not beat around the bush. Like the reason he's on the list is because he has 900 kids from like 900 people. So
yeah, that's 902 was the last count.
Yeah. So that's like obviously the most what we're going to unpack, but like, let's back up for 2 seconds and talk about, like, I mean, he is an actor as like a young person. He was in a bunch of
child
shows.
Star. He could be described as a child star. He was a teenager when he was on All That.
He was on All
really
That?
On All That?
I loved All That.
Allow me to refer to the, is it Wikipedia or Wikipedia? Nicholas Cannon, blah, blah, in television, Cannon began as a teenager on All That before going on to host The Nick Cannon Show, Wild and Out, America's Got Talent, Lip Sync Battle Shorties, which I assume is the child version of Lip Sync Battle. What are they doing? They're Megan Thee Stallion? I don't know. Unless it's with
his wives. The women. Oh, it's God. All the women he's had kids with is what it is.
Well, I think that
Dominic, it's pronounced shoddies.
No, but This is the thing. That kind, shoddies, is S-H-A-W. This program, Lip Sync Valley Shorties. These are the racist things that I edit out of the podcast. Because my even trying to spell these things, I feel like I'm wearing a Klan hood and someone's going to write in and say, burn him. Lip Sync Battle Shorties, and of course, The Masked Singer. As an actor, he's been in the films Drumline, Love Don't Cost a Thing, and Roll Bounce. As a rapper, he released his debut self-titled album in 2003 with the single Gigolo, which was unfortunately a collaboration with R. Kelly.
Oh, yowza. That's...
Woo! So I don't remember
him on All That. I'm not going to lie to you. And I was All That. Like,
well, I'm asking the two of you would know, like, I'm older than you. And so to me, I guess he came when he was on Wild and Out is how he entered my mind, because I was back and forth producing stuff at MTV at the time. That's the only way I would even know. But I think it's from Wild and Out.
No, Wild and Out definitely made him. Well, Drumline was like, he's a movie star now. Mm-hmm. Like, after being on, like, TV as a kid, like, Drumline was like, oh, he, like, is the star of a movie. whether that be like a made for, I think it was like a made for TV.
And is he the star of that movie?
No, yes, he's the main character. Made for TV. That was a real movie. I feel like people like know that movie. I don't remember it that well. Was he an actual good actor in that movie?
Unclear. Does it matter?
I don't know. I don't even remember it.
Nikki, does it matter?
I guess that's a no.
But regardless, Wild and Out then became like a big show on MTV when I was a teenager. Like, it was fun and there was all kinds of really cool rappers there. And then like he hasn't stopped hosting things since.
Well, he really became a host. I do like that he dipped his toe as a rapper. He's like, you know what? I'm a pretty attractive black man. Like, I might as well give this a try just in case.
I should be a rapper, question mark.
I mean, if every contestant on Drag Race can do it, Nick Cannon can give it a whirl. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't know, like, and then I'm telling you, like, I knew him from Wild and Out, but he was just sort of part of that whole... I don't know, he was just an MTV guy, like a Dan Cortez, mm-hmm. or just like a people that I'm only going to know from there and then never see again. And then one day, you're just reading the purple section of USA Today and you think that you see it says Mariah Carey married Nick Cannon. You're like, him? What?
Well, that is where I'm going to triangulate. Like, he did then skyrocket into a level of fame that he would never have achieved if it was not to marry the biggest diva on the planet, Mariah.
Yes, hashtag Avi.
1,000,000,000%. A person who disagrees with the statement, you likely would have forgotten about Nick Cannon if he hadn't married Mariah Carey. Anyone who disagrees with that statement should be put in jail. I mean, honestly, well, should be put in a home or something.
We usually hear that. Yeah, I mean, we usually hear that as the female, I feel like, often is the one that marries someone and kind of gets, like,
comeuppance. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's a little bit more rare for someone of Mariah Carey's status, especially back then, to, you know, go after a Nick Cannon from MTV. But, like, good for him. And he, you know, he fucking made the best of it. I mean, he definitely used that. And honestly, if you look at his hosting career after that, you know, he basically just developed himself as a personality.
Oh, yeah.
Which was better than a rapper. So, you know, he's good.
Yeah, honestly.
Well, turns out he's better at that than rapping as well, thankfully.
And as we say on this show all the time, hosting is hard. And he actually is a pretty decent host. I mean, he was the host of, I mean, think about it. America's Got Talent is a humongous, still right now today, a humongous television show.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Masked Singer, despite what you think of it, is a widely watched television show on Fox. Like, it really, no, like, he got
to big time. He's like basically like Ryan Seacrest. You know, he's like that classic host. But for me, him as a host, it's like he's got that big, silly personality. Like, whoa, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But 20% of me is like, really? Like, you thought those, like, five little kids doing flips on each other's backs were just like, well, so, that, I don't know.
Right.
I just,
that's the thing. It's like, you want to equate him with Seacrest because Nick Cannon on that level is sort of, you could view him as being as utilitarian as Ryan Seacrest is. Like, you could, like, Ryan Seacrest could host, like, a child's tea party or an actual war. Like, he is the ultimate professional at it. He can do anything. Mm-hmm. Nick Cannon's sort of like that. He just injects an aspect of his personality in there that everything he hosts, I feel like I'm watching MTV Spring Break from 1997 or 98. Like, he just has that personality. But you know what I mean.
I know.
Yeah,
but
he asked those children to flash them. It was so weird.
The way he talks, and it's not just him, it's everyone who hosted anything on MTV back then as well. They sort of talk. I still hear it in Carson Daly every time he speaks. I don't. It's like a sense memory. I feel
that is really interesting point, and I'm going to agree with you on that one. I'm going to give you that one.
And you know what he's good at is like even like some random woman who's like, my kid like is singing and I'm like terrified and like they're good. I hope they do well. He like gets them going. Like he really does like put the, whereas like Ryan Seacrest will be like the anchor in the storm. Like Nick Cannon's like hyping people up and making them have a fun.
Agreed.
Like, look at your kid. Isn't that crazy? You know, he's really there to be the hype man. Not to bring it back to Wild and Out.
Genuine?
Days,
Do you like believe that he really cares? Like, do you think it's genuine?
I don't even think I need to care or need to believe it. It's just, I think he does a good job because he brings energy to situations that might not have any energy and kind of is a clown a little bit, but it's, I don't know. It works.
He goes for it. He goes all out, you know, yeah. Like it, you know,
and I mean, not for nothing on the Masked Singer,
something.
On The Masked Singer, when it's so fucking obvious who the person is, or they're terrible, or like it's not even, they're not even that great. And the, all of the judges and the audience have to act like they're hearing Celine Dion perform from like the One Foot in the Grave. Like they like act like they are truly, when you, have you ever watched that show?
Only clips, truly only clips. So Nikki, I actually haven't really seen
you
him
can't
also
get, you won't
show.
Be able to get through a full episode because you will be horrified that this is what's on TV. Because people are like, what? And it's like zooming in on their faces and they're like, they act like it's Meghan Markle being like unveiled every single time. Like truly, they're like, this is Princess Diana's ghost. Like, and it's, it's, I love her to death, but it's Countess Luann. You know what I mean? Like,
are they always good? Like, are the singers always good?
No, sometimes they're terrible. Hence, Wendy will in the most iconic performance ever, Wendy Williams singing and laughing and making herself laugh and snort and burp during her performance. The best thing ever. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
But like that, or it was like Leanne Rimes, like winning and her being unveiled and everyone being like, we had no idea that it was you. And they were like, we didn't know you could sing this well. Do you know what I mean? Like you have, it's one or the other.
Rimes could sing that well?
They're disguising their voices, right? On the show.
Not when they're singing. When they're singing, it's just their voice. But when they talk, it's a like robot voice.
Got it.
So they'll give you clues of who they are. And they're like, well, I used to be on blah, 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 blah.
So when Leanne Rimes is singing on that show, can you, if you're watching at home and you're like a giant Leanne Rimes fan, do you
You know
like,
it's her.
Oh. And yet she, this cast of people didn't know it was her.
They don't have a clue, Dominic. They couldn't tell you up from down about it.
Interesting.
It's crazy.
But she's a real singer.
I feel like you're coming for me right now.
No.
I really don't know.
No, I'm just saying it's like, it's insane that people watch this TV show and are like, oh yeah, this is believable at all. Like, it's insane.
And wow, we have some catching up to do.
I mean, I've never watched an episode of it, to be honest with you. I know what it's about. Who are the judges? And
I
are they unfit?
I want to be with you when you watch. You need to be in my home when you watch 2 minutes of it. Because if you watch one of the audience reactions, you will say, turn this off immediately.
Okay, so we're going to give him some real props on his hosting. He hasn't gotten these gigs out of nowhere. He definitely found his little niche. But it's almost like he then said, oh man, I am so amazing. Let's create more of me. You know, like he like bought into his own hype.
And then he said that over and over and over and over and over and over again.
We should mention a couple of other things about him. I mean, obviously he has, and I can't remember because I know one of his children passed away, but I do believe he has 12.
Are you serious?
As a baby, like was in the past couple of years.
Oh, that's horrible. Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
Like
oh, wait.
A 1-year-old, I think.
Yes.
Maybe less even.
Right. And then had children as recently, I think, as 2022, giving him, I believe, a 12th child, if I'm not mistaken. But there were other moments. Remember, he was accused of, there was like a rash of this happening a few years ago where people who were like reposting or liking anti-Semitic stuff on the internet, and he was one of them and had to end up issuing an apology to his Jewish friends about liking some anti-Semitic posts on the internet. And then, and I don't know if these happened around the same time, but remember he resigned from America's Got Talent and there was something controversial attached to that. And I don't know if we ever got to the bottom of it. He
no,
said,
I don't remember that.
He hosted the show from 2009 to 2016 and then announced he would not be back in 2017, citing creative differences between him and the executives of NBC.
Well, yeah, the creative differences were that they wanted Tyra Banks to be the host and then she was the host and they were like, why have we let this insane woman into this show?
Ah, God, get her out of the building.
They were like, get her out.
What have we done to ourselves?
What have we done to ourselves?
Because at least once a show when Tyra hosted it, she was like, hi, I'm Tyra Banks, and this is America's Got Talent. You know who's got talent? Me, bitch.
Me.
I'm Tyra Banks, and I have talent. Oh, I love Tyra Banks. Anyway, we're talking about literally everyone but Nick Cannon, which
Nick
is
Cannon.
Sort of indicative of how exciting Nick Cannon probably even is as a person, unless he's impregnating somebody.
Well, I'll tell you. Well, speaking of impregnating somebody, like he gets, I mean, it starts a couple years ago where they're like, guys, like Nick Cannon has like 8 kids. Nick Cannon has like 9 kids. And it seems that I don't think other than Mariah Carey, how many baby mamas are there is the question.
That's a good question.
Many?
My best guess is I'm going with 5. Is there more than that? There's probably more.
6 different women.
Let's go to the expert. I don't know what mood she's going to be in today. Hey, Siri, how many children does Nick Cannon have?
Nick Cannon's 1 daughter and 1 son are Golden Cannon and Powerful Queen Cannon.
Dominic, why are you doing
this? It is not. Okay.
Okay.
That is not what I asked. Again, this is the 900th time. When I eventually kill Siri with a hammer or a large kettleball, I believe is what they're called, I will do it live on the show. Fuck off, Siri. Go ahead, Chris. I'm so sorry, Nikki, that you had to witness that. I hate losing my temper when we have company.
I know. I think you and Siri just need some space. You'll figure it out. Okay.
It's a war that they're waging on each other every single day, Nikki. I have to deal with this every day. So people to obviously our altar that we worship people.com has told me there are 12 children with 6 different women.
That makes sense.
That's actually a pretty good average to a woman.
Yeah.
At least he's not wasting them.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than I'm not going to lie to you. It's better than I thought it was. Like, mm-hmm. It's better than I thought it was going to be. And the first two are Mariah Carey's 2 kids with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who now are like performing.
Those were his first 2 children? Are they his oldest children, the Carey twins?
I want to say yes.
I believe that's correct, too, because I'm an expert on this. But, you know, I think it's interesting that if he's having, for the most part, multiple children with the same woman, like at least maybe 2, it's very interesting because none of these have been huge relationships, or not a lot of them have been.
Right.
So they're having 1 baby together. The relationship isn't necessarily working out. Maybe they did have thoughts that it might at first. And they have all agreed, like, let's just keep doing this, you know? And at that point, he might also be with the next woman. It's like, I don't know. Like, these women have bought into, like, they have picked up what he is putting down, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing on Selling Sunset, one of the newer realtors is one of his baby mamas.
Oh.
And
yeah, I'm a fan of the show. I've seen him.
Yeah. And in her first season, like, immediately she comes on. And of course, like, every single one of them is like, spill it. Like, just tell us. And she's like, tell you what? And they're like, shut up, you stupid fucking idiot. Like, just tell us what we want to hear. And she's like, what? Like, we have our relationship. And like, I don't understand why people are so confused with like my relationship. And then that few of them start going after her and they start, you know, being like, just, this is a lie. Like, he's not even with you. Like, he has like 900 kids. Like, what are you talking about? She's like, no, we like have our relationship and we're like solid. And then she like finds out off camera while they're filming that he's having a child with someone else and is like at a dinner with some of them. And they then like come back to the other girls and they're like, oh, she just had like a mental breakdown at this restaurant because she found out
God.
That. Yes. Yes. So it's like,
I love that.
So like you see in real time someone like defending the relationship and then being blindsided by a pregnancy and losing their minds. Right. P.S. Rightfully so. It's not like she
I mean, you want to say, like, listen, there's a lot of different strokes for different folks.
Do whatever
and
you want.
I mean, truly, like, so I know people in open relationships, and that's working for them, and it might not work for them in 5 years, but it's working for them. Like, you do you. You totally do you. I just can't believe that this many women are like, yeah, it's really fine though. Like, it's no big deal. Like, if there's one cool, especially mom, because it's one thing to be with someone and like be in an open relationship and like whatever. You start sprinkling some kids in there and like, bitch, things change.
Sure.
And so,
that's a great point. I mean,
it's hard to be that cool. So it's just, it's like, I don't know. It's hard to be that cool.
It's hard to be that cool.
I mean, commendable if you are. I just, it's hard for me to buy it.
It's
and
a
you
lie.
Have to also understand that people are going to be curious because it's not the norm. And I remember that first episode because she was so much like, what? It's like, no big deal. Like, it's just like, we're just doing our thing. And it's
Listen,
girl, come on. People need more information. This is like, obviously, like,
and they, here's the information. Here's the information. If you're one of Nick Cannon's baby mamas, all I want for Christmas is putting your children through college. So when you're appearing anywhere, you're going to say, yeah, I'm fucking fine with whatever. I don't want to have a girl. I mean, that is it. Mariah Carey is putting all of those children through school and everybody. That was it.
Yeah.
So wait, is that what's happening? Is does he have a great settlement from Mariah? Because he can't make, I mean, I'm not saying he's not making good money, but that's a lot. And these people all seem to be living pretty extravagantly. I mean, where is the money coming from to this degree?
I don't know. I really don't.
I mean, he's on like good shows, I will say. But
I mean, of course, but we're talking about 12 children and child support. And every time you see a party of their like first birthday or whatever it is to the nines. You know, yeah. That's a lot.
I don't know. And maybe did he invest well? I'm not even being shady, but like, did he do those things that rich people do to stay rich? Those things that I don't do because I'm not rich.
And like, not for nothing, Brie was like, I need to get my ass on TV because I need to like make money. Yeah. I need to like sell expensive real estate to like make commission for this fucking company. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like she's just sitting pretty. She's like out there, like working really hard to like make money for her kid. And then it's funny because like the first episode, like she was like, it's fine. And they all were like, it is the only reason you were casted on this TV show. Like, how dare you think that it was for any reason?
Did they say it to her?
No, I mean, no, but they all but said that to her. And I was like dying.
Well, I remember Googling it when I first saw that first episode because I was like, what's happening here? And like, I was like, is she with Nick Cannon? Like, what? I ended up Googling it because she was being all shady about it. And I had the same thought. I was like, girl, you know exactly why you're here. Like, spill. I mean, come on. Like,
right.
I mean, she's, don't get me wrong. She's hot.
And like, capitalize on it. I'm not like, yeah.
Yeah, but you're a reality TV star. They want a little bit more. And here's your, like, that's what put you over the edge to be on the show for sure. So, like, I mean, to a degree, just own it.
No, and, like, again, we were rabid, just like the cast members that were next to her, we were rabid to hear one fact about how they live their lives. Like, I was ready to hear one thing, and I would have been satiated forever. Because it doesn't
like hang out. Then he got someone together.
Then he got someone pregnant, and you found out.
Yeah.
The fact.
And that's the other thing, is that, like, when she's questioned about it on the show, she's like, we are what we are. And it's like, no, like, what are you? Like, there's very non-answers going on. And I wonder if that's what he's doing to all of them.
Mm.
Like, is he
like
giving
to define this?
Cause during the holidays, I remember all these memes that were like, this is about to be the hardest working man in like one day. And it was Nick Cannon. God. And it was just like a collage of like him with the, like all the different Christmas photos of like him with all of his kids, like in different places with the different wives.
Well, and then that starts to, go ahead.
It's basically sister wives. Like, it's like, other than them living in the house together, it's like they're all, he's in theory, like with all of them, or like at least trying to be there, which is commendable and good. Like, that he's like in the kids' lives, that even though he has 17 million kids, but it's like, you saw like holiday picture with the family, holiday picture with the next family, holiday picture with the third family, holiday picture with the fourth. Everyone but Mariah Carey had like a holiday photo with him this past holiday.
Well, because they're all trying to be reality TV stars. They're like, I gotta make a buck because he's gonna run out of money soon, you know?
Right. Yeah, and there's no end in sight. Also, I mean,
do you think that when he quit America's Got Talent, that three or four of them called up and said, "What the fuck are you doing?" Like,
I would
quitting a job. Crawl back to NBC and apologize to them, goddammit.
Well, honestly, the saddest thing to me, and I mean, obviously, I don't know these women personally, like, and like I said, to each their own, but it seems like, especially from seeing Brie on Selling Sunset, you know, it seems like there's still emotions there with at least some of them. And it's hard not to have emotions there when you have the connection of a child. Because, sure. Yeah, things would be easier and awesome if daddy was, you know, living here at our house instead of blah, 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 blah. And so it just, it seems like I'm imagining that more than one of these women is kind of hoping that, you know, they're going to be the girl that turns them around. I mean, we've all dated that person that right. We're like, yeah, like he's kind of an ass and he cheats around or whatever. But like, he like, I'm special guys, you know, like he's going to change for me. And I feel like that's what you got from Brie in that beginning of Selling Sunset. Yeah. And then it was like, yeah. I think she was fine with the casualness of it because she was getting the most of the casualness. And then when it like went away, she was like, wait a minute.
Sure. Ooh, and if there are more of these women that think they're going to change him, I just want to say to you, good luck. But I will tell you, when and if you do change him, he might be different, but he will still have 12 fucking children. Stay home.
And like, I don't even think it's like he's mean to, I think he's like charming the pants off of them. That's what
literally, yes.
Yeah. I don't even think
Did you
it's
say literally.
Yes,
that would be
yes.
the funniest word.
That's our catchphrase.
It's our catchphrase. Oh my god! Yes,
can we get that on a T-shirt or something?
Oh, we have it on a candle. We'll send her some.
Oh my god! Yeah, you guys are amazing. I'm sorry. Continue.
I truly think he's like, girl, you are every like. I love you. Like, I think he is like dickmatizing these women, and then they are like. Nick Cannon's in love with me. You know what I mean? And they're like, he wants to impregnate me. Like, do you know what I mean? And then he's like, oh, what? Huh? And then is like, gone, baby, gone. And then he's like, no, I love you. Like, I think he's just like a smooth operator. Like, am I wrong?
Yes.
Like,
and no, for sure. And I think he's one of those very, very dangerous men who truly believes it. In
yes.
that moment.
Like he you does know, love those, all of them actually.
Yeah. Those first 6 months, he's like Brie or whoever. He's like, wow. He's like, this woman is amazing.
Yeah. Insert name here.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Like, I think he really does believe it. Even like he believes his own BS. And so, yeah, it's a slippery slope. And then you're suddenly, you got child number 13. I mean, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again.
How could it not?
Well, the other thing, too, is that everyone knows Nick Cannon lays pipe, basically. Like, we've seen, like, we've been to the websites that just have collages of his dick in slacks when he hosted the daytime Nick Cannon show. There was just, like, 20 or 30 times where his dick was clearly visible. So then, you know, you sort of understand how is he able to, he is literally, clearly dickmatizing them with
yes.
what can only be described from what I understand as a scepter gifted to him by the Lord. And yeah. So that's definitely part of it.
That's going to be on the back side of the t-shirt.
Like a dick imprint of Nick Cannon's.
Yeah, I have not seen those pictures. Just if anyone else there is not run, in the know like walk. Me.
Yes. You'll, when we leave here, just go right there. If you just Google Nick Cannon dick, it'll pop up.
Well, yeah, I assumed. But
I have seen Nick Cannon in person back in the day when the Super Bowl was in New York/New Jersey. I worked on it was a concert series for VH1, and it was called like, I don't even, Super Bowl Blitz, like concert or something like that. And it was basically a concert in every borough of New York and then a concert in New Jersey, like in the nights leading up to the Super Bowl. And Nick Cannon was the host alongside, get ready for this name to slap you in the face, Stacy Keibler. Do we remember her?
What?
Ooh.
Remember
Stacey
her?
Keibler of the Keibler Elves?
Yes.
No, the name same. Is so familiar. Please fill me in.
She
I
was
definitely
dating.
Know that name.
She dated George Clooney for like 2 milliseconds to
That's
get famous.
Right.
And at the time, right. She was like a hit. Like she was like gonna become an it girl and then never did. But she was hosting this thing and she was really pretty. But Nick Cannon, at one point, we were at the Beacon Theater in New York City. TLC was performing. And Nick Cannon was like basically 5 feet away from me. And I will say he was very hot in person.
Is he tall?
Yeah, he's like got some height on him.
Yeah.
Not like crazy. He's not like, no, but like tall. He's not. He's like approaching 6 foot or like, you know, yeah. He's like.
I watched this. Hey, Siri, how tall is Nick Cannon?
Nick Cannon is 6 feet.
Well, look at you, bitch. Gold star for today, Siri. It's about time.
So I actually got to drink him in on, I don't know if you actually didn't name this show with his accolades, the Nick Cannon Show, daytime talk show.
All the collages of him having a big dick in pants are from that daytime show, by the way. Mm,
that's what he was going for, huh?
Mm-hmm. But tell us, is this your story? Because we know you have
Afternoon Delight. Yeah, no. So so the Nick Cannon Show, I believe it only ran for one season.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say that was, I don't know, COVID times, last couple of years.
Yes.
And so they wanted to do food segments. And that is one of my specialties. I am a chef by trait. And so I went on, I did their very first food segment on the Nick Cannon Show.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It was a disaster. The whole production was rough. It was rough.
Oh, no.
I handled it, you know, like a beaut. And even when you're missing avocados for your avocado dish, you make it work. And don't get me wrong, actually, Nick really did do a great job also noticing the things that were happening and trying to keep it going the best he could. But I remember when I first arrived at the show, you know, I was having one of those Nick Cannon moments, kind of like we had before. You know, like, I know this guy, but why do I know him so well? Like, right. One of the things he's been on. And so one of the producers was catching me up and she starts mentioning, you know, he's got 12 kids or whatever it was at the time, maybe 11. And I think that she's mentioning this because this is a topic that we will not be approaching today. You know, like, sometimes producers will come on and be like, listen, you know, they're sensitive about this, or definitely don't bring up like their divorce or something.
Sure.
Yeah. Like they're a consummate alcoholic. Please don't talk to them about their drinking.
Yeah. You know, like these are little like wonderful things that producers like Chris will give you heads up on. So you don't look like an asshole.
Uh huh.
And so I'm like, oh, got you. I was like, okay, no kid talk. No, you know, and they're like, no. They're like, this is his like shtick. This is what, you know, like he's really on the show pushing hard that he has all these kids. So like, it's like, it's his fun thing. So it definitely might come up. So we want to make sure that you, so really the producer was coaching me on, you know, his latest
talking
child
about his
and
kids.
How many he has. And I was like, this is a really interesting choice and honestly, not a terrible one from a PR perspective. You know, this man really is just himself. He is a host and he doesn't really have a ton of other reality TV kind of things. So it's amazing that like his children became the thing that he was known for and that
right.
We wanted.
That's the brand
to
now.
Take his claim of his show on a little
right.
Bit.
Right. Like post you know? I'm Mariah Carey's husband. That's his shtick. I have 12 kids.
You have 12 kids. And like, but I will say when I went on the show, I remember thinking this is going to be interesting. Like I just thought of him as this like hyper energy kind of guy from America's Got Talent. And I will say that he took everything really seriously. And when the lights did come on, he had a very controlled energy. He really did. It's not that easy hosting in general, but especially daytime TV and food stuff. You've got to like keep it going. You got to ask the right questions. And he really did do a fantastic job. And I remember leaving thinking, oh, this might like have legs. Like this could go somewhere. I mean, it didn't, but you know, right. I got to give him his props there. But I thought it was so interesting that they were coaching me on, hey, make sure you know about all his kids. And I was like, right. Okay.
Well, let me ask you now, cool. having met him, do you have one or two children with him at this point?
So we're working on baby number three
yes.
Coming soon.
You're cut off now.
We're
Nick Cannon
so
has a, he's a Noah's Ark fetish. I can only have pairs of children with each woman and then they're out.
I do have twins. Can you imagine if one of my twins came out a little darker than the other one? Oh, that was about that time. No. But I do think he's a tall drink of water. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, he, you know, yeah, there was a part of me that was like, hey, what's going on there?
Well, Nikki, that story reminds me.
He's a good-looking man. I'm looking at him right now. He's definitely.
Yeah. He is a good-looking man. He's aged very well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
That story reminds me that he did a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial recently that was like, buy one, get one free. And he's like, I have so many kids. Like, I need buy one, get one free or something. Oh my God. And it was like Nick Cannon pokes fun at being a dad of 12 in Buffalo Wild Wings ad, colon, a lot of mouths to feed. Like, that was a commercial. And then there was one where it was like, I don't think it was the same commercial, but he was like, I don't even know what the commercial was for, but it was something where it was like, don't let Nick Cannon like look at you because he'll get you pregnant.
Yeah.
And the girl was like, oh no, oops. And like, she had a big pregnant belly. Like, he really is like embracing it in a way that is kind of upsetting, because it's like, no, like, this shouldn't be the butt of a joke that you have 12 kids. Like, with, I don't know. It's just,
it's like his sex tape. He's like, you know, like, yeah, this is going to.
Nikki. 100%.
Yep.
We speak the same language. And here's the problem is that, like, on a serious note, now most of these kids are pretty young. Mariah's kids are a little bit older. But, like, there are actual children out there that are never, never going to get enough time with their dad. I don't care if he's the dad of the year. He also has a career that is
a huge career.
Demanding. A huge career. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of those TV shows and stuff, you know, they shoot for months. They are taking you on the road. And so it's like, you know, I don't know. At some point, the joke kind of becomes not so funny when you're like, you know,
I agree.
These kids are writing their memoirs at 20 and they're like, you know, I was one of Nick Cannon's 22 kids and here's my story. Like, ooh.
Yeah, it's ripe for TLC. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, it's I mean, are we at the pitching hour? Because
speaking of TLC, I have something to say. Okay, anything else we need to say about Nick Cannon before we do the pitches?
I think we've covered it all, including his actual canon. So take it away.
Oh, wow. That was such a great tie-in. I missed that before. That's why you're the host and I'm the guest. Good job, Don.
I just have dick on the brain.
Yeah, well, ding dong.
ding dong.
Nick Cannon. Speaking of the Learning Channel, I mean, I haven't done it in a while, but I mean, it's a reality show with him and all of the wives and the kids. If it's a reboot of Sister Wives, go ahead. But like, it is him. We follow with cameras him doing every single one of those Christmas photo shoots and watching these people squirm on camera to try and say that they believe in whatever fucking relationship they have with him. And we just keep those cameras on them long enough, and then we start to see the cracks. And then they're going to start. It's going to be like a house of cards, and it's going to be beautiful, beautiful, beautiful television. Because every single person in the relationship is lying. And we all know it, and they know that we know that they know it. Truly. And wow. I think. And it can start as like fun world, like fun. Look how crazy it is that I have 12 kids. It's what he wants. Like, he wants this. He'll do it in 2 seconds. Little does he know, it will be the absolute downfall of every single person that it touches. But it will be something that we will eat up like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I will be watching this show. And I think it's either
on. Yeah, no, we're talking about Selling Sunset and the very small morsels that Brie was giving about their relationship.
Oh, we were rabid.
Rabid. Situation, and we all had the same response to it. So when you look at that, you have to say, well, if these three weirdos have that response, then, you know, there's quite a few other weirdos out there that would. And yeah, but you're right. I think that it would go south. It would go south.
And that's my pitch.
I too am pitching a reality show today, which I don't know that this has happened before where we're both pitching reality shows in the same, but mine's completely different. My reality show is where Nick Cannon hosts a series of Bachelor-esque miniseries where he marries off his baby mamas to the men that are actually going to be loyal and also raise Nick's children.
Oh my God.
And that is my bitch.
Raise Nick's children is a great title.
Yo, I love it. Raise my kids.
Raise Nick Cannon's kids.
Raise Nick Cannon's kids.
I like that because then the baby mamas get a little airtime, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just like little versions of The Bachelor, one after the other.
Yes, season one, two, three, four. Season one.
Every season. But seriously, there are enough baby mamas that you could do this for several years.
Oh, no, for several. And then he'll just keep making them to keep doing it on the air. Yes.
Well, I will say, Dominic, I will point out that your pitch incentivizes him to have like 14, 15 children, and he needs to be stopped. I'll just say that.
What if, can I amend my pitch to say that before the series starts, he must have, during the finale, he must have a vasectomy live on the after the final rose reunion. For the first time in Ray's Nick Cannon's kids history, a live vasectomy.
So these are good pitches, guys. And well,
and they were very short.
Well, I think they're short because we've all seen this obvious thread of this is reality. And so we just kind of want more of that. But and it's funny because Chris's, I definitely want to watch. Like I watch some reality TV for sure, but I wouldn't say I'm hardcore. You know, like I like to pick and choose. I mean, Vanderpump Rules early seasons, especially, come on.
Yeah, unparalleled.
Amazing. But I'm not watching like every Real Housewives. I'll watch some Bachelor, but if I don't like the guy, I tune out. You know, I have real high standards here. And the idea of Nick Cannon, and like you said, going from one, you know, holiday party to the next and pretending that this is normal and everyone pretending it's normal, but it's so not normal. I mean, I will be watching. However, if we're talking about actually fixing him, keeping this going, you know, and like if we're really trying to fix him in a way that supports him and not just entertains us, then I think keeping him as an actual host on Dominic's fucked up series of marrying off these baby mamas actually would be the best for his career, because you know Chris's show is going south fast.
Yeah, I'm really, now that I'm thinking about it, I really wasn't helping him at all in this pitch. Yeah. I was hastening his demise.
What's the paycheck at least?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he would have a surge in his notoriety. You know, I think things would really go up for him over the course of the next 3-ish years. But then you know, he's already invited a lot of talk about his personal life, and he'd be inviting a lot more. Mm. And I think it's like when you get like a little too famous or have too many followers on Instagram, or a video goes too viral and suddenly people come out of the woodwork just to tear you down. Like all the comments go negative. I think it would just, you know, it would go south fast. So at least Dominic's pitch, we get to keep seeing what's going to happen with Nick Cannon and his baby mamas. I go with Dominic.
Dominic's on a roll. He's on a roll.
On a roll. I'm just letting the listeners know this because they are, as we get deeper into winter and maybe turning into spring, what you're looking for here, the narrative here, is a comeback story from the younger generation to show the nearer to death generation why their ideas are in the past. And so, Chris...
No, but Dominic, you're the only person that pitched something today that would fix Nick Cannon. I was truly ushering him into cancellation.
You really were.
I mean, I think it's the opposite of what this podcast is.
Right.
It's just simply the show I want to watch.
Right. I don't really care about Nick Cannon, which is interesting. It's interesting that what I've done is save him when I probably like him less than you do. But I'm here to serve, I guess. It's part of our job.
Oh, Lord. Well, wow. I got to get my fucking shit together is really what I need to do. Nikki, thank you so much for being here. Where can people find you?
Yeah, guys, find me on social media. I love it, and I like to connect. So at Nikki Dinky, spelled how you might expect, N-I-K-K-I-D-I-N-K-I. I always say if you Google me, there's no other Nikki Dinkies out there. But definitely check out You're So Creative podcast. It's a good time, especially if you're in that world of creative thinkers. And yeah, you know, follow along, and hopefully I'll be back, because
whenever you want
people to find me,
whenever
I'm
you
already
want.
Thinking, I'm like, who's next? Because yeah. I mean,
well, please let us know and say,
approach
I need to
the bench.
I need to fix.
Yeah. Approach the bench. We're ready take submissions. We're, yes, please.
That sounded so sexy. I'm like, what's happening here? There's a bench and submissions. Like, okay. On the side, I've been Googling Nick Cannon dick or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I just pulled it up.
Wait, I'm going to, I actually am going to Google
him. Yeah, there was like a leak. There was a leak on Twitter a couple of years ago. And
a leak.
Oh, yeah, of course sure. It's in Page Six. Fans lose their minds over Nick Cannon's apparent bulge on TV.
Well, that, I mean, that bulge in that thing, it does.
Oh my
look
God,
like
it's humongous. Oh God. Write? Who does he think he is? John Hamm? It's huge.
It is. It's a big one. It dear looks God, like man. It could make a dozen children.
These poor women.
Boom, boom,
okay.
Boom, 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 boom.
Chris, where can the listeners of this podcast find you?
They can find me at The Chris DeRosa. They can find the show at Fixing Famous People. You can find the Patreon at patreon.com/fixingfamouspeople. We did this out of order, Dominic. Where can the listeners find you?
Yeah. Because no one asked me, Chris. That's
I'm
why
sorry.
We
I was
did
Googling. I was
no
stigmatized one... by Nick Cannon's penis. Okay,
but do you see now how he's able to impregnate all of these women? I'm trying to
I
promote
do.
Myself.
Yes. Where can people find you, Dominic?
Oh, thanks,
Dominic,
Chris.
Where can people find you?
Oh my God! I mean, this is the definition of being good. Clamored. I love it.
Jump in here.
The website's dometary.com. The socials is Dominic Pupa, or just go to the Fixing Famous People Instagram page to find me there. Chris, you've already said where we could find you. Would you like to deliver some closing remarks?
I would. I wish you both well. And as always, where's Shelly? Goodbye.
Did not see that coming.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.